that you've been experimenting with time travel?
Well, in a manner of speaking.
Have you personally taken a time trip?
I'd rather not say.
Do you believe your experiments could be useful to the government's defense?
I couldn't answer that.
Mr. Bailey, do you believe mankind ever can go forward into the future or only...
It's far too early to say.
Mr. Bailey, if your technique should fail, would it strand the time traveler somewhere between the past and the present?
Well, that's really difficult to say.
Will you have a statement to make after you talk with the president?
Perhaps.
On his way to meet with the President of the United States, we meet Mr. Frank G. Bailey, founder and guiding light of Intercontinent Computer Corporation. You may not recognize his name, but chances are it's one of his machines that records every gallon of gas you purchase on your credit card, predicts the outcome of every election, and prophesies just what you will think and vote and do. His machines have revolutionized our lives, but his newest device may even revolutionize our whole concept of time. Here are Dick Cross, Douglas Young, Pat French, Johnny Novak, and Phil Royal, and special guests Ted Darms and Doug Setterberg in the Tower Playhouse presentation, The Yesterday Machine.
Caltech, in a statement today, has dismissed as nonsense the reports that Intercom Corp has successfully tested a system of time travel. Meanwhile, Frank Bailey, head of the computer firm, is at this moment in conference with the President of the United States. And until...
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I don't know how any of this got out.
There's always some way, Frank. But that's okay. They're still guessing. And if we have to, we could issue a denial.
Oh, I don't see that you'd have to. You're simply visiting my plant to inspect one of your major defense contractors. Nobody can prove you're taking a time trip.
I'll have a tougher time with the Secret Service than anyone else.
Sir, why not let them come with us?
Into time? Not a chance.
Well, if you can't trust them...
You can trust them. It's not that. Frank, if this creation of yours really does put me back where I want to go, I may dig up something that should have stayed buried. In deference to the dead, I think the fewer who know, the better.
Sure, I understand. Well, everything is ready. Our historians have programmed the 9900 to the brim. I've tested it. I know it works.
All right. Give me the rundown once more.
All right, sir. Now, you know the basics. We program a series 9900 computer with every scrap of data we can find on the man and the circumstances of the period.
Check. And this is what feeds my memory and all my five senses when I'm hooked in.
That's right. You'll be sedated for 24 hours. The electrodes to your brain will be connected to the five output channels from the computer. Now, you remember about the reality transference.
Reality transference. Let me see.
Well, that's the effect of popping into your target time. You'll be disoriented for a few minutes, so we intentionally produce a sleeping condition when you enter the past.
Oh, yes. And then when I seem to be fully awake, I'll have no memory of the present.
Right. Your imagination will store all the memory data you'll need in logical order. You'll never suspect there was even been a time beyond 1923.
Gotcha. Now explain the recall again, Frank, where I get called back to the present.
Well, you remember I explained that this is all automatic.
Mm-hmm.
The series 9900 is a talking computer, and it's programmed to call you back to the present while it gradually disconnects the sensory inputs. You'll slip into unconsciousness for a moment and then wake back up to the present, memory intact.
Okay. Is that everything for now? I've got a 3:30 appointment.
That's it. We'll expect you at the plant Monday morning. You'll be a guest at my home that evening. And the guest cottage is wired with a full five-channel terminal from the 9900. And you'll start your trip there.
Fine. And, Frank, I can't thank you enough for this. All my adult life, I've been tortured about our 29th president. His story has lain like a gaping wound in my mind. It could happen to me.
Well, sir, I think that you're concerned needlessly, but if this trip back will help...
It should. For 30 years, I've tried to uncover the mystery of Warren G. Harding. Why he did what he did. Maybe Monday, he can tell me.
Well, Mr. President, welcome to our humble guest quarters.
Frank, I've got cold feet.
What do you mean, sir?
I don't know if I have the right to run this risk. No matter how small...
Sir, there is no risk. You fully understand the system. Your physical body lies here sleeping. God knows you could use it. Your five senses are short-circuited by this electrode harness, and your total reality, which comes to you through your senses, is transferred to 1923 on the presidential train down from Canada. Time telescopes. While you're asleep for 24 hours real time, you may choose to stay with the past for what seems to you like weeks.
No, not that long. Just until Harding dies. Then I'll know, and I'll come back.
Fine. In the meantime, I'll take care of everything here. One thing. I want you to be sure you can recognize the recall message that you'll hear when the 9900 starts to bring you back. Here. This is what you'll hear.
Mr. President, your visit to this point in time is coming to an end. You have been an onlooker to history, but you are now recalled from this illusion to the reality of real time, the last third of the 20th century. All that you have experienced in the year 1923 was an illusion. You are now returning to the real time. You will awaken now.
Mm-hmm. And this can happen no matter what I seem to be doing back in 1923.
Right. You'll just get drowsy, which is the automatic reduction of your sensory inputs. And just before you drop off to sleep, you'll hear the recall message. And in the moment, your next reality will be here, in the guest cottage.
Okay. And the Secret Service has been taken care of. I've begged for 24 hours to rest up and loaf under your care. We won't be bothered.
All right. Now, lie here on this bed and get comfortable.
Okay.
And the electrode harness fits gently over the crown of your head. So, you feel comfortable?
Yes. No pain. Well, I'm ready when you are, Frank.
All right. The hypo. Feel all right?
Keep your fingers crossed.
Tell me what you see.
I'm moving. I'm on a train. In the smoking car. There are men in their shirt sleeves. Straw hats. It's the presidential train.
Hey, Tom, put your collar back on. You've been asleep. The boss wants to see you.
The boss?
President Harding. Criminy, you've really been asleep. Too much Canadian booze.
Well, where are we now, anyway?
Oh, about 2 hours out of Vancouver. Ought to make Seattle just about quitting time, so there ought to be a good turnout.
I'm really all turned around here. Which way's the president's car?
This way, next car up. Man, you ought to drink it all.
Mr. President, you wanted to see me?
Oh, Tom, yes, sit down. Seen this paper from Vancouver?
No, I haven't.
Well, you know, an old newspaper man can't keep his nose out of the local papers. That's why I wanted to see you. Have a look. Go ahead, read it.
Yeah. July 19th, 1923, Dateline, Vancouver. A lackluster crowd turned out to welcome the first U.S. president to visit Canada. The goodwill trip coming on the heels of the disastrous American agricultural depression was obviously aimed at bolstering confidence in Harding's administration. But the suspicion of scandal has not been blotted out by the president's back platform rhetoric. Nor has his Alaska and Canadian junket served to divert attention from his tottering administration and its troubles.
How do you like them apples?
Well, maybe in Seattle they'll be kinder on us, Mr. President.
Well, what can I expect with a cabinet nobody trusts? My friends betraying me. I suppose you heard about Jesse Smith.
Smith? What?
They say he killed himself. The papers say he was arranging settlements between the Department of Justice and some crooks. And him so thick with my own attorney general, I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, has there been any late word from Washington?
Nothing good. Of course, Cal Coolidge would just love to see something happen to me out here in this godforsaken West.
He has his eye on the presidency?
Well, now, man, what do you think? I always suspected he had something to do with all the hullabaloo in the papers about me and the Ohio gang, claiming I was giving all the sweet jobs to my cronies. The trouble with being vice president, you don't have enough to do. You bet Calvin Coolidge has his eye on the presidency.
Thank you.
Well, what'd you think of Seattle, Tom?
Why, that was a very decent-sized crowd, Mr. President.
It sure was. More than friendly, I'd say.
Won't you eat something, Mr. President? That salmon from Puget Sound, a real delicacy.
I don't know. I haven't the stomach for food much anymore.
Excuse me, sir. Tom, could I see you for a minute?
What's up, Jake?
It's nothing, sir. It can wait.
What's the matter, Jake? What do you got there?
Well, it's a dispatch. Just came into the Seattle Telegraph office for the president. In code. I've been having it decoded.
Well?
Warren, Mr. President, it can wait till after dinner.
Blast it, Jake. Give it to me now.
Okay.
Bad news, Mr. President?
What next? The Senate wants to investigate some oil leases. There's some testimony. They think there's something crooked there, too.
Oh, Mrs. Harding, we thought you were sleeping.
I was. Now, go ahead. Don't mind me. Warren, what's the matter with you? You look stricken.
No, it's nothing, Duchess.
Nothing, is it? Here, let me sit down, boys.
Sure. Please sit right here.
Yeah, have some of this salmon. I haven't touched
it. No, I don't want any. Now, you've got to eat some of it. Please. For me.
Well...
What's this? This message is... Is this what ails you, Warren?
Oh, the Senate's got nothing better to do than to poke into some oil leases.
Oil leases?
Yes, oil leases. Any move my administration makes gets investigated. Oh, I admit it makes wonderful headlines. Oh, I can't eat anymore. It tastes funny.
Now you're just worried, Warren. How does yours taste, Tom? Jake?
My salmon is perfect. Delicious.
Well, I can't appreciate food or anything with this Senate trying to trap me every step of the way. Florence, even a president can't do anything without friends. Can't they understand that? No, they accuse me of populating government with the Ohio gang. Excuse me. I've got to go to my car.
But this is Portland, Mr. Harding. It's 8:30. A wonderful crowd out there. See them?
Hey, remember, boss, how it was in the campaign? You said handshaking is the most pleasant thing I do. Remember?
I can hardly bring myself to it. Let me just step out on the back platform. Come with me, Duchess.
Stay with us, boys. Stay with us.
What time is it?
12:15. Did you discard that 7 and 8 on purpose?
Huh? No, I didn't see it.
Rummy!
Huh?
Rummy! 7 and 8 goes on your 9-10 jack, and my queen goes on this 3 queens, and I'm out.
Boy, I must be asleep.
Yeah, well, I'm going to turn in, too. I wonder if the chief is feeling any better.
I don't know. Funny, he started feeling bad right after eating.
Yeah, my salmon was okay. I feel great. A little tired.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to hit the hay, too.
Boy, Warren is sick. The president is very sick.
What's the matter?
We can stop the train, find a doctor.
No, I asked him, and he said no. He would wait until we get to San Francisco. How long is that?
Well, not before early morning. Gosh, it may be 8 or 9.
Should we wire him for a doctor?
Yes, please do that.
And Vice President Coolidge, should we wire him?
Coolidge? No, there's no need for that. Not yet.
Fellas, this is the word right from the doctors. Harding has pneumonia.
Pneumonia? That's food poisoning. I bet my life on it.
No, the docs both agree. Pneumonia. Caught it while we were up in Alaska, probably.
That could be pretty bad.
Well, what are they going to do?
Hold it. Here they come now. They've got the chief dressed.
He looks terrible.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Mrs. Harding. We're terribly sorry.
Yes, so am I.
Warren, please. Now, we're to go straight to a hospital.
Well, this way, there'll be no speeches, no parades anyway. That's one good thing.
Now, no more talking, Warren. Look, they brought an auto right up to the platform.
Thank you, boys. Sorry it worked out the way it did. All right, Duchess, let's go.
How'd he look today, Tom?
I don't know. Maybe a little better. I don't know. He looks like he doesn't want to live.
It's been how long? 10 days? If he doesn't improve pretty soon, Calvin Coolidge will take over the government.
It's funny, Jim. I feel so strongly that there's something important I have to do. Before Harding dies.
You think he's really that bad?
I can't explain it. It's almost as if this had all happened before, somehow. You know what I mean. Ever happened to you?
Yeah, I think the French call it deja vu or something like that.
Yes, yes. I have this eerie feeling that it's important to the country to know every detail of what's happening right now.
Maybe it's like it was with Lincoln.
What do you mean?
Well, the books people wrote about his assassination. Every school kid knows about Ford's Theater, John Wilkes Booth.
It's always a tragedy, isn't it? Yes. It's a tragedy when a president dies in office before his term is through. That's the tragedy. Driver, turn around, please. Take us back to the hospital.
What's got into you, Tommy?
I don't really know, except that's what I've got to do. I must know what Harding wanted to do with his final year as president. Where he went wrong. And how he died.
Hey, lay off, will you? He's not dead yet. Maybe he'll recover.
Oh, no hope of that, Jim. Driver, can't this hack go any faster? The president's room. Almost there.
Look, it's the Duchess.
Mrs. Harding, we came back because I had to know something. May I have a few words with the president?
You're just too late, boys.
Too late?
President Harding has slipped away. He's out of his misery and torment at last.
The final act of the Yesterday Machine in just a moment.
Mrs. Harding, the service starts in 10 minutes.
I need some of the old Ohio gang now, just as Warren needed them.
Well, they're all out there. Secretary of State Hughes, Vice President Coolidge.
President Coolidge, Tom. President now.
Yes. Say, do I smell smoke? Something burning?
It's just there in the fireplace. I had a little fire.
Are you ill? It must be 90 degrees outside.
No, there were some personal things of Warren's. You understand.
His papers. You burned them?
Yes, Tom, I did. When a man dies, his life is ended, even if he's president of the United States. That's why I wouldn't give my consent for an autopsy either. Let the nation ask all the questions they like. Tom, you don't look well.
I'm suddenly so tired, sleepy. I can't be.
Mr. President.
No, I still don't know.
Your visit to this point in time is coming to an end. You have been an onlooker to history, but you are now recalled from this illusion to the reality of real time, the last third of the 20th century. All that you have experienced in the year 1923 was an illusion. You are now returning to the real time. You will awaken now.
Well, hello, Mr. President. Welcome back to the here and now.
What? My head is spinning. No, I came back before I could find out.
Mr. President, what did you hope to find out?
I wanted to know Harding's plans, his hopes. What he would have done with his last year in office, and how he got snarled up with the scandals, Teapot Dome, the others.
Well, we can take you back on another trip whenever you say. But rest a bit. I'll have dinner brought in.
Dinner? That's it, Bailey. When I was on the presidential train, he had dinner aboard just as we pulled out of Seattle. And then he became ill.
Yes, I seem to remember reading about that in history class. Some people thought it was food poisoning.
Yes, but Harding continued to get sicker and sicker as we got nearer to San Francisco. And I remember his doctor's diagnosis said nothing about poisoning. They called it pneumonia.
You suspect it wasn't?
I don't know. All the data from my time trip came from known facts about Harding and the events at the time. So I suppose if something had been covered up, I couldn't have lived it.
No, your imagination might have expanded on the facts, though. By applying logic, insight, theory, these are human abilities that the 9900 doesn't have. He might have come up with a true answer.
Mm. And what about Duchess?
Duchess?
Harding's wife. The first lady. Florence Harding. Just before the funeral, she burned his correspondence. As if she were trying to hide something. And she refused to allow an autopsy.
Yes, things are all historical facts.
I tell you, Bailey, if I could just go back in time once again, I think I could force my way into the private car where Harding lay and get some things straight. To get him to describe how he got into the problems. Maybe he wasn't to blame. Maybe he...
Excuse me.
Maybe Harding didn't know anything at all about some of the shenanigans his Ohio gang were pulling.
You still sleepy, Mr. President? Your body ought to be rested after your 24 hours of physical sleep.
I don't know, Frank. I had this vague feeling of drifting away. I only felt it once before, when I was with Florence Harding, just before the funeral. Just before I came back to the present. I feel as I did just before the recall message.
This isn't normal, Mr. President.
Light. Sound. Fading. Fading.
Mr. President. Mr. President. Your visit to the 20th century is coming to an end. You have been an onlooker to history, but you are now recalled from this illusion to the reality of real time. All that you have seemed to have experienced in the 20th century was an illusion. You will awaken refreshed back in the present. It is now Thursday, June 4th, in the year 3419, and you are awake.
Could it be that the whole 20th century and all of us in it are figments of someone's imagination in the future? Did Frank G. Bailey's company merely reproduce a computer that had been built over 1,400 years hence? Well, that's our tale of the Yesterday Machine. Our thanks to Dick Cross, Douglas Young, Pat French, Johnny Novak, Phil Royal, special guests Ted Darmes as President Harding, and Doug Setterberg as the series 9900 Computer. Now, this is Jim French for the Tower Playhouse. Good night.